Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, very, very important message for men. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 18, 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, you may already be married. Let me just say this. If you are, and things are a little rocky, you may find in a while that the woman you're married to is already the woman that is allowing you to obtain favor with the Lord, and already a good thing. It may just be that you're on a rocky road and you kind of got to, you know, get out of the ditch and get out of the rocks and the potholes and get up onto smooth pavement. It may be that you're not married yet. And if you're not, then you need to pay careful attention to the words of wisdom from the Bible to help you in finding that good wife. But let me say, there are many a men who, for own selfishness, did not realize the gem that God had given them when they got married, and only after time of getting rid of some of their selfishness and considering what they had with the wife they already have, we have learned that we have a good thing. Now, what's great about having a wife? Well, one man said, jokingly, it's great because she can wash my boat and clean my fish and cook the fish and make my bed and, you know, all those other kind of things. And you hear funny stories along those lines. But truthfully, when women were made, because Eve came from the rib of Adam, when women were made, they were made to be a help meet for their husbands. Now, a lot of times the people say she's a real good help meet, like it's a single word, help meet. But when God told Adam that he was going to make a woman a help for him, meet for him, it's actually two different words. Somebody to help him on the one side and meet him or match him on the other. In other words, not a man and a monkey, okay, or a man and a horse or a man and a cow. She's a match. She's a match. He's a man. She's a woman. He's a male, she's a female, she's a match, a meet, a help meet for him. And so there are a lot of good things about that fact that God has given us wives and given us women to be our wives because they are a help. A good wife is, anyway. And finding a wife, not only that, but teaches you about the relationship that you have with the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we know how much Jesus Christ loved the church because he died for us, and he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And so, by marrying and loving our wives, then we begin to understand the love that Jesus Christ has for us in the church. And though there are lots of dimensions to that love, many times that love is reciprocal, and many times that love is a battle. Many times you love in spite of the fact that you're not being loved. And we do all those things to Jesus Christ, and it matures your love, and matures your love for the Lord, and matures your love for your wife. Another really good reason for having a wife is that allows you to have children. And children should be raised by their biological father and by their biological mother. They aren't always these days. There have been so many marriages that were busted and then the people got saved afterwards. Sometimes they're saved and they split up and somebody else enters the picture. You got all kinds of that stuff going on these days. And I don't condone any of it. Don't suggest that you should consider doing those things. But the fact remains that that has happened. There are many of us that understand exactly what it's like to have seen children that are raised by stepmothers and stepfathers. It happens, okay? And there are lots of folks that are in churches that are under those circumstances. And so there's nothing that I'm saying today that is in condemnation of that. Rather, on the other hand, if they're not being raised by their biological mother and biological father, that, then the people that have entered the relationship ought to raise those children in such a way that they love them as their own. That's what they need to do. They need to love those children as their own. Now, that was beside the point. I just threw that in there. The point is that by marrying, that gives you the opportunity to reproduce, to multiply, to have children, and to go through all of the joys and all of the experiences of raising children and training children and leading children to the Lord Jesus Christ and watching them grow and watching them get their education and then watching them go out and do something for the Lord. There's a great joy in that. Can't do that without a wife. Another good reason for a wife is that with a good wife, you have someone in whom you can confide. The Bible says when you marry, you become one flesh. And there's no one on this earth that knows you better than your wife. I think of the many times that my wife and I have walked around in our neighborhood, wherever that may be, when we were living, wherever we were living. We take those late night walks, sometimes early morning walks, and talk about various things concerning our children, concerning our life together, concerning the ministry. And she knows me better than anybody on this earth knows me. And because of that, many times she can advise me well when personally I have become emotionally involved in something that I'm now not thinking clearly on or not making a good decision on, or I'm stressed out about that. And she knows how to read all that stuff and advise me well, and she prays for me. Numerous times I can remember being in situations where my back was against the wall and I was under deadlines and my mind wouldn't think right and I couldn't get the message together, or circumstances were falling apart that needed to be put back together. And I could call her on the telephone and say, you know, it was like a 911 call. I'd call her on the telephone, explain what the situation is, and I could tell instantly when she began to pray. And I'm not one of these that's a great spiritual giant. I don't have a whole lot of spiritual awareness, but I can tell you when my wife's praying for me. Boy, I mean, things, you know, really get straightened out because God listens. We're one flesh, and I appreciate that so much. So I love the help. I love the match that we have together. I love the fact that I've learned so much more about the relationship that I have with the Lord through the love that I've had for my wife. I'm grateful to God and to my wife for the wonderful children that she's given us. I'm so thankful for the fact that I can confide in her, that we're one flesh. And oftentimes, I don't even have to say anything. She can just recognize that and pick up right at the spot where she needs to pick up. It's just a wonderful thing. And plus, it also gives me someone. She gives me someone to love, and we're built that way. We need someone to love. You know, well, you don't have a place to go with that desire that's in you, someone to love. It just doesn't, you don't feel complete. I know you're not half a person until you marry, but you don't feel complete if you are the kind of person who does well in marriage. And but I just love it. I love it when we are together at home. I love it when we're here together at church. I love it when we have the opportunity to travel together to preach, and she can be with me. It's wonderful. Okay, so finding a wife is definitely a good thing. And the Bible says, and when you do, you obtain favor of the Lord. That's our proverb. So what instruction can we give, first of all, to a man that's already married? What instruction can we give if things aren't going well? If you don't feel that you've obtained favor with the Lord, and you don't think you've got a good thing, all right, let me tell you some things that you definitely should do. And actually, I wasn't thinking of going this direction, but as I started going down the lesson, I thought, you know, we really, really need to include these things. The first thing you need to do is you need to really, really love her. You say, that's hard to do. Well, yeah, don't you know it was hard for Jesus Christ to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and then to Calvary for us, and many people have rejected him? You've got to really love her. And she has to know she's loved. Not on the condition that I'll love you more if you straighten up, but I love you. I love you. You got to love her. And I recognize that can be a challenge, but you got to give it that shot anyway. You got to do everything you can to keep this thing from falling apart. So love her. Second thing you need to do is you need to be honest with her. Men are so chivalrous sometimes that what they'll do is they'll say, oh yeah, honey, everything's just fine. Everything's lovely. And things aren't fine at all. Your heart is torn up. You're very dissatisfied with things that are going on in the relationship. There are things that she's doing that aren't right, perhaps. You're going to have to be honest with her. You're going to have to level with her. And you're going to have to establish. And I realize this is a counseling term, and I don't like counseling terms generally, but this is a good one. You're going to have to establish some proper boundaries. In other words, men have a tendency to bend over backwards to accommodate a wife when things aren't going well. Buy her a bigger house, buy her a better car, buy her more jewelry. And the next thing you know, the marriage breaks. You go through the divorce. She winds up with the jewelry. She winds up with the car. She winds up with the house, and you're broke. And you know why? You didn't establish some very good boundaries. Listen, you're not going to buy her love with possessions at all. And the safe boundaries are that you've got to let her know where you stand on some matters. And a lot of times a woman feels more comfortable when she's got a man who's very secure in that. If you're always wishy-washy trying to accommodate her, she's not going to be happy with that. Now, I don't know where I got off to this idea that I'm going to counsel you through all these things, but just I see these kind of things happen. Another thing you got to do is you and she have got to get to church. You've got to find a good Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God in truth, teaches the Word of God in truth. They don't have to teach about marriage and all that kind of stuff all the time. They got to teach you the Word of God, and the Word of God will change your heart. You got to get into a good church, and then you too have got to get into the Bible. Family devotions will help you a tremendous amount. Read a chapter or two, maybe two chapters together a day in the New Testament. Talk about a verse that really spoke to you. Pray together. Hold hands. Pray together. And get in that Bible, and you don't have to expect sudden changes, but just trust that God can begin to work in your heart and show you some areas where you've got to change. And that's something else you got to do. You got to be willing to change. This trouble in the marriage may not all be one-sided. It never is. You got to be willing to change, and at the same time, you got to be willing to stand your ground. There are some areas where you don't need to change, where your wife needs to change. And listen, I have watched God get in the middle of some miserable relationships and fix them. I've also seen situations where there were scriptural grounds for the divorce, and the thing just couldn't be put together and reconciled no matter how you tried. And that's sad, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't try these things and really put them into practice, you're not giving it the best shot that you have, you see. You can't go spend all your time on the golf course, all your time in the fishing boat, all your time at work, show up, you know, for 15 minutes totally distracted at meals with a cell phone in your ear, get in bed, hope by having some sex that you can kind of straighten out your marital problems, and go back tomorrow and do all the same thing. Golf with the boys, hunt with the boys, fish with the boys, work with the boys, come in talking over meal to your family about the boys, and then expect that, you know, the bedroom's going to solve your problems. You got to do better than that, you know. And I don't say you got to be sensitive and you got to be feminine and show your feminine side. I don't go with any of that. You're a man. She married a man. You be the man, but be a godly man. You be a praying man, and you get Jesus Christ in the middle of your relationship, and you know you two have got to get close to Jesus. And I promise you, the closer you are to Jesus, Jesus is the one with God that instituted marriage. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you'll get to each other. It's like a triangle. You're on one side of the bottom, she's on one side of the bottom, and Jesus Christ is up there at the top in the middle. And you go up the sides of that triangle, you watch what happens to the base of that triangle. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer the two sides, the bottoms of that triangle get, so that the base is narrower. You want to get Jesus right down smack dab in the middle of all that. You say, what if she won't do any of these things? Well, you've at least given it your best shot, and I'd say more than 24 hours. You can't do all these in 24 hours and say, okay, I tried it, preacher, it didn't work. You got to give it some time. And you got to pray. You got to pray, okay? You have got to pray, and you got to talk to God about, look, God, I want to obtain favor with you, and this wife I've got, I want to be a good thing, and I want to be a good husband to her. Now fix these things and help us. You got to put in the effort. Okay, that's if you're already married. And there are probably a number of other things that I can add to it. Those are just some things that came to mind right there. You got to love her. You got to be honest with her. You got to establish some secure boundaries where you're not going to let, you know, her cross certain lines. You're going to get into a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. Get into the Bible together, reading a couple of chapters, talking about a special verse, praying together. You got to be willing to change. You got to be willing to stand by your ground in areas where you should not change. You got to get Jesus Christ right in the center of that relationship, and you got to draw close to him, and you got to pray. And you may find out that, this is what you may find out. You may find out that the woman you have is a good thing, and you just didn't realize it. I'll tell you, any relationship that I've ever talked to people about, after they've spent time together, they love their wives a whole lot more and understand what that love is years after they've been married than they do in the early part of the marriage. Okay? My wife and I have been married 26 years, and I can honestly tell you right now, I love her way more than I did when we first married. And the reason is we've had to go through a lot of these things, and I have a good thing. And by that, have obtained favor with the Lord. That's a good thing. Now, if you're not married, how are you going to find a wife? Well, I guarantee you, you're not going to find her holding her down on the dance floor over there doing the two-step to the twang, twang, twang. That's generally not where you're going to find a good thing. Although a lot of the songs about the women that do the two-step down in those places, they always talk about their little thing and how good she is. That's not the best place to look. I would not advise that at all, particularly if you're a Christian. I'd say you better go with the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right then, you're a saved man. You have no business dating and trying to get hooked up with a lost woman, hoping that after you've been married for a few years, you can lead her to the Lord. Oh, what that tells me is you're following some desires, whether of the eyes or the flesh, I cannot say, and that you want those desires to be satisfied, and in the process, you'll hope to be able to gingerly lead her to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what happens to some women. Once they see the man that they're infatuated with start turning toward the Lord, a lot of times they get scared and don't want anything to do with him anymore. And yet you are in a pressure cooker that is liable to blow right into divorce if you keep on like that. No, that's not the place to find a good thing. You're going to find a good woman. You're going to find her serving the Lord Jesus Christ right now. That's not to say that there aren't men who married that found their wives have gotten saved later that turned out right. Okay? And I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those who was very fortunate at a time in my life when I wasn't thinking about God at all, got married, and my wife didn't get saved until later. And I cannot recommend that to anybody. The struggles and strains on you are immense. I was very, very fortunate. The Lord saved her, and man, has she ever turned out to be right. But that's not the way you start. Not going into it. Not as a saved man. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know what you need to do, secondly, is you need to make sure that she's going to love you. An old friend of mine, he died when he was 92, was getting interested in a woman, and his mother said, don't marry a woman that you love. You marry a woman what's going to prove she loves you. He didn't understand that. And she went on to explain, look, you're going to fall in love with any pretty woman that takes an interest in you, but that doesn't mean that she's going to stick with you. You got to find a woman that's going to stick with you. So he set up a little test, and I won't go into the details of the test, but basically he took her paycheck and then said that he blew it all, and she said, don't worry about it. I got another paycheck where that one came from. I'll take care of you. We can cover it, in other words. He said, man, when that woman said that, I realized right there that woman can go through some tough times without any trouble at all. He married her, and they stayed married till she died and had a very happy marriage. Why? Because she proved early on that she would love him and not hold things like that against him. Now, I'm not telling you to employ that test. That's what he did. But he proved it, so you ought to know her well enough to know whether or not she's going to stick with you. The third thing you ought to look for in a wife is a submissive woman. The Bible speaks of that in Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3 and other places, a submissive woman, a woman who is not afraid to follow a spiritual man. Now, if you're not a spiritual man, don't expect her to follow you. But if you're a spiritual man and a godly man and a man's type man, she'll be willing to follow you and make sure she's a submissive woman. That doesn't mean that she's a rollover and play dead yes woman and just, you know, coos and oohs at every little thing you say. You may be that smart. If she's going to ever talk with you, like Sarah had to talk with Abram about getting Ishmael out of the house, and God told Abraham, better listen to her, what she said is right. If you're going to have a kind of woman that can consult with you and things like that, that's good. But you also want to make sure she's submissive so that when it comes time to making those final decisions and you say, this is the way we're going to go, she'll go with you. You want a faithful woman. That is, we're not one that's going to try to be eyeing other men and then eventually wind up in somebody else's bedroom. You want a woman that's going to be faithful with you. Now, if she talks bad about her daddy, she is liable to talk bad about you. just clue in there. If she loves her brothers, she's probably going to love you. If she hates her brothers, you got to better watch out. Better watch out. Better watch out why she's willing to break off with those siblings. There may be good cause, but maybe not. You want a faithful woman, faithful to church. Faithful to church. Faithful to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful in salvation. Faithful when she tells you she's going to be someplace at a certain time, she shows up. Faithful with her employer. Faithful with her studies. Faithful woman. If she's slacking in her work, slacking in her studies, slacking in her diligence to be on time, slacking in the care of her possessions, you better watch out, because she's going to bring all that stuff to the marriage, and it's going to be magnified when you two are together. You want a virtuous woman. You say, what's that? Well, go to Proverbs chapter 31. Start reading at verse 10 till you get to the end of the chapter. That's a virtuous woman. She can carry her weight in a marriage. She can do her part. You're not going to have to do the laundry and cook all the meals and clean all the floors and drive the kids to school and take care of her while she sits down on the sofa eating bonbons watching soap operas. And there's some men that have gotten into that kind of relationship. You want a virtuous woman that can roll up her sleeves, get busy with the work, keep the clothes clean, cook a good meal, and so forth and so on. You can read the description in Proverbs chapter 31. Virtuous woman. I pick you one that's beautiful. You say, oh, preacher, now you're talking my language. I'd like to have me a 5'4", blonde-headed, blue-eyed little thing. You know, oh, yeah, I know how it goes. Beautiful inwardly. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about a woman that doesn't have to adorn herself on the outside and spruce up her outward appearance to get your attention, but a woman who can reveal to you the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's the most beautiful woman on earth, no matter what her features of her countenance are. You want a beautiful woman. One that doesn't need a lot of outward adorning to feel good about herself. One who can deal with her outward adorning in moderation and modesty, and who regularly reveals the hidden man of the heart, one in whom you can see the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good woman. That's a beautiful woman. And that's what you want. Because in your marriage, listen, gravity and age will take care of all of that outward beauty. It just will. I know some dear sweet ladies that are now in advanced years, and they are beautiful. And honestly, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ shines through them. And listen, age is age, and it deals its blows, and we all face it. There are wrinkles that pop up that weren't there before. There's gray hair that pops up that wasn't there before. And all the other things that go along with that, stiff joints and, you know, arthritis and pain and a lot of other things that come with age. Those things, that natural beauty changes, but if it's all, the beauty of the hidden man of the heart, that will be with her forever, because, as a matter of fact, with age, she'll become more beautiful, because you'll see Jesus Christ in her even more so as she advances in years. And then you want to recognize this in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, that a prudent wife is from the Lord. You'll obtain favor from the Lord when you get a woman that God wants you to have. And I'm not sure that I go so much that there's just one woman on the face of the earth for you. I don't know if I go that way. I would say this, that the way God works in this thing, there's just something that draws you to her. And if you're praying, and that drawing, it comes from the Lord God, then that prudent wife that you have will be from the Lord, and you will have favor of the Lord, because he'll have given you somebody that will help you and will comfort you and advise you and take care of you as you go on doing what God wants you to do. Now, I'm convinced of this. I've seen a lot of marriages, and I've seen some gem dandies, and I believe that God put those people together. I believe that wife was a prudent wife, and that she was a gift to that man from the Lord. You can see it. That it's a fit. Man, they belong together. That's right. And so in that fit, recognizing that God does that, if I were you, I would pray. Now, we had a missionary here named David Hoffmeister. He's from Alaska, been up there serving the Lord for decades. And he came to our church, and he gave a testimony about praying for a wife, and he met her down in Oregon. And they married, and they've had a bunch of kids, and they're happily married, serving the Lord Jesus Christ together, even unto this day. And he said, in no uncertain terms, I prayed for that wife. I've met men who prayed for a wife, and the first time they laid eyes on the woman they married, they knew that was the woman for them. It even told a friend, that's the woman right there I'm going to marry. That's God's gift to me. And sure enough, in a short period of time, they were engaged. In a short period of time, they were married. And they're married to this day, and they've been married that way for decades. So how'd that happen? Well, they talked to God about it, because a prudent wife is from the Lord. And frankly, if I were you, I'd want a prudent wife. I'd want a faithful wife. I'd want a submissive wife. I'd want a wife that would prove that she'd love me. I'd want one that's saved. I'd want a virtuous woman. Wouldn't you? And I thank God today as I preach this message, I've got one. God made her that way. She is a good thing. A good thing. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now listen, listen. If you're not married, please take heed to what you've heard. You've just heard a lot of general, maybe even rambling comments from this preacher, but I've seen many, many relationships. You want a good wife? Start praying. Look beyond her facial beauty and her figure to the inside. Do you see Jesus there? Is she virtuous? Is she faithful? Is she submissive? Has she proved that she loves you? Is she saved? Then you might want to seriously consider if this is the woman for you. If you're already married, remember that God brought her to you to help you, and she's a match for you, and that she'll teach you about your relationship that you have with the Lord, and because you'll love her like the Lord loves the church. She'll bring you children. She's someone in whom you can confide, and she's someone to love, and you need somebody to love. If you're on the rocky road, love her, pray, get Jesus right in the middle. Be willing to change where you have to change. Be willing to stand your ground on your convictions where you should not change. Get in the Bible. Get in a good church. Establish some boundaries and be honest with each other. And let God fix that marriage. Now that's a whole lot, covering a lot of ground for a lot of different people out of one little verse in the Bible. But that is a tremendous verse of Scripture. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And I pray that you'll be able to smile and say before God Almighty and every other person to whom you testify, I have a good wife and I have obtained favor of the Lord. Amen. Pray this has done you some good. If you're not married, I pray you'll find you a good one. Listen, we're here to try to help you. We're here to glorify the Savior. We're here to lead lost souls to Jesus Christ. That's why we pray this has been a help to you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.